what most people don't realize is up until about May of last year, the casualty rate in Sao Paulo and Rio were higher than Baghdad. And one of those is a war zone and one isn't. And people just, you know, we have no contemplation of what's going on. We don't look south unless it's absolutely on fire. And I think it's to our peril that we ignore what's happening in our own backyard.
Rio, where they have the Mardi Gras, where they always seem to be in a festive mood, that's pretty darn serious.
Well, that's the problem. We see, you know, the carnival as the symbol of Rio. I can tell you I was there. I've been down a number of times. But staying on, you know, Copacabana and Ipanema, which are, you know, major tourist areas, this is really upscale. And started one night, I got dropped off, because usually I had to do something every night. But they said, well, here's a restaurant. It's about three or four blocks from the hotel. I said, oh, I'll just walk up there, right up Copacabana. And they said, oh, no. You can't go down the street at night, you know, even there, because of the violence. One of the problems that they had was some laws that said if you're under 18, you basically couldn't be charged with a crime. And so, you know, just like Oliver Twist, they would send these kids out. But they went out with straight razors.
Oh, my God.
And, boy, if you didn't turn your stuff over and turn it over fast enough, they would slice and dice in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they'd cut you. Now, someone out there in Radioland is saying right now, I don't live in Brazil. I don't live in South America. So what? How does this affect me here?
I will give you a worse case than that, and that is I was having a similar discussion with some, you know, field grade military officers, and that was everything. So what? Why should I care? And the problem there is, you know, we're looking at the Middle East, which is, of course, problematic. But the problem is when you start connecting the dots, as I've done now, this does go to the Middle East, and, you know, it links back to some things I heard in your ads earlier. Hezbollah, for instance, has been active in South America for a long time. And there's actually a chain where people from the Middle East, say Syria and Iran, they go to Spain initially, fly from Spain to Paraguay, and what's called the tri-border area, and that's worth a separate discussion. That's just the Wild West. From Paraguay, which is very easy to get into and out of, they then go to Mexico, get language training, and then come up and they cross the border. Now, they don't use the cheap coyotes. They pay top dollar and get in. Well, one of the things that may surprise you, as it did me, were the complaints out of the court system in Texas of the number of people with Arab-sounding names who were coming in to have their names officially changed to Spanish names. Now, should you care? Yeah, I think we should care.
I think so, too. And we're letting our guard down, John, because no one seems to be doing much about this. And this is potentially disastrous and dangerous. Because let me tell you something. You know, I've based a lot of the things I've done on this program, and you've heard this show many times, on my gut and intuition based on fact and things that I know. And I have a very strange feeling that something is going on, something big. And I think exactly like you're hinting at right now, there is a flood of people who hate us that are coming in from Mexico who are in the United States right now, and they are just ready to do what they need to do. They just haven't pulled the plug yet.
Well, see, this is one of my big bitches about Bush's comment. We're going to fight them over there so we don't have to fight them here. You're wrong. They're already here.
They're already here. What's taking them so long, John, to strike? To do
what is long? I mean, one of the problems with Americans is that our, you know, long future is about noon tomorrow.
Yeah, we have no patience.
Things don't happen and just instantaneously, then they go in. You know, we have watched the terrorist cells over the years develop, and for them, you know, a 5-10 year planning cycle is within, you know, within reason.
This is all speculation, I think, unless you know something else. How many of these people have infiltrated us over the last 5 or 6 years?
Have no way of knowing. You couldn't even, I don't think we could begin to guess. I don't think we even started collecting the dots for quite a while. When I first started in on this project, I was saying we had a scotoma in the intelligence arena. Now, the more I've come to look at it, intelligence folks are sort of aware, and it's kind of like 9/11. You know, all the pieces were there. Nobody connected the dots. And I think you've got people inside the system, as you did with Michael Schauer and some of them before 9/11, saying you got to watch these folks. I think they're saying it, and nobody's listening. And part of the problem was we're just so overwhelmed with Iraq and Afghanistan. And my experience with a lot of the military folks, good guys, but they're just overwhelmed. You know, they're just firefighting at best and nobody looking at long-range threats.